Let's read together Esther chapter 6. In this chapter, God works a wonderful turn of events. The tables are turned. Mordecai is exalted and Haman is humbled. Esther chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. That night the king could not sleep, so one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, "What honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" And the king's servants who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." So the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servants said to him, "Haman is there, standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king asked him, "What shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "Whom would the king delight to honor more than me?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Hurry, take the robe and the horse, as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken." So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning, and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him." While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of this chapter, Esther chapter 6. Background notes lay the groundwork and help us to better understand the teaching of the Bible. In Esther chapter 5, the stage was set for the surprising turn of events that take place here in chapter 6. At the risk of her own life, Esther had gone uninvited before King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, on behalf of the Jewish people. Remember, Ahasuerus is the Hebrew form of the name for King Xerxes I, the Persian. The king had held out his golden scepter to Esther, but she had delayed the plea for her people by inviting the king and Haman to a banquet. At the banquet, Esther again delayed her request and invited King Ahasuerus and Haman to another banquet. Meanwhile, Haman gloated over his success and position of favor with the king and the queen. There was only one fly in the ointment for Haman. Only one problem that kept him from fully enjoying his evil schemes. What was it? Mordecai the Jew. Mordecai sat in the king's gate, maybe indicating that he held some sort of government job. But Mordecai would not bow to Haman as Haman passed through the gate. To do so in that culture would have been to acknowledge that Haman was more than a mere man and some sort of god. So Mordecai would not bow. This made Haman so furious that he had a very high gallows constructed on which to hang Mordecai. In fact, he planned on asking the king if he could get rid of Mordecai the Jew the very next day, before the second banquet, so that he could thoroughly enjoy himself at the feast with the king and Queen Esther. And so Haman came to the palace in Susa very early the next morning in order to present his petition to the king to eliminate Mordecai before the banquet. But God was working out a different scenario through all of these schemes of Haman. In fact, Esther chapter 6 could be entitled Sleepless in Susa. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, God delights to surprise the righteous with reward. God delights to surprise the righteous with reward. It just so happened that King Xerxes couldn't sleep well that night. I wonder why. So Xerxes did what a lot of people do when they have insomnia. They read a good book until they can drift off to sleep again. So Xerxes called for some reading material. He called for the official record book or scroll of the Persian records to be brought and read before him. Now, if anything will put you back to sleep, right? If anything will put you back to sleep, it's the reading of official records. Well, before Xerxes was able to drift back to sleep, he heard the official record about Mordecai's good deed of uncovering the plot to kill the king. Remember, we read about this back in chapter 2. I'm reading Esther chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Esther chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. That's King Xerxes. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther. And Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. Esther 2, verses 21 through 23. Xerxes asked at this point, what had been done to honor Mordecai? Nothing was the answer. Just at that precise moment, it just so happened that Haman entered the royal courts to make his request of the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows. When the king heard that Haman was outside in the court, he thought, he's just the man I'm looking for to carry out my plans for Mordecai. And so he said, bring Haman in. So when Haman entered, the king said to him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Of course, Haman thought to himself that the king wanted to honor him. And so he came up with this elaborate plan in which he would be paraded through the city on the king's horse and clothed with the king's royal robes and applauded by all the people. Good, said Xerxes. Do all of this for Mordecai. What a surprise. I mean, you've got to believe that God has a sense of humor, right? You know, if we were acting out the book of Esther as a melodrama, everyone would cheer at this point. And so Mordecai, who did the right thing, was rewarded. Can you imagine Mordecai's surprise at this wonderful turn of events? You know, we too will be surprised when the Lord rewards the righteous, both in this life and certainly at the judgment seat of Christ in the future. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, the Lord speaks about a righteous man's reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. God delights to surprise the righteous with reward. Doctrinal point number two. God determines to surprise the wicked with humiliation. God determines to surprise the wicked with humiliation. Let's read verses 12 through 14 once again. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife said to him, if Mordecai before whom you have begun to fall is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. And while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Little does Haman know at this point that the worst is yet to come. He was surprised with humiliation, and he will fully reap what he has sown within a few short hours. Haman's wife and friends realize that the tables have been turned, and that it is only a matter of time before Haman will fall from his position of power and favor. And you know, the same is true of all who would practice evil and exalt themselves through wicked ways. See, there's a lesson here, a doctrinal point, right? This same principle is true of all who would practice evil and exalt themselves through wicked ways. Proverbs 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "The wicked person devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy." Proverbs 6, 14 and 15. And remember the rich man in Luke chapter 16? The evidence of his unbelief in this life was not that he was rich, but that he only thought of himself and his pleasure and his selfish lifestyle. From God's perspective, this was wicked. And when he died, there was a surprising reversal of his fortunes. God says in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their evil ways and live. Ezekiel 33, 11. But if the wicked will not turn from their evil ways, God is determined to surprise the wicked with humiliation. No one who practices wickedness and exalts himself through evil ways will get away with it. God determines to surprise the wicked with humiliation. Once again, in this chapter, we have a prophetic foreshadowing of the future. All those who, like Haman, have plotted evil against the Jewish people, God's chosen people, God is brought down in defeat and humiliation. Think of what was to be the so-called glorious Third Reich of Germany. Where is it now? And the same will be true of the nations that plot evil against the believing remnant of Jews in the end time. God determines to surprise the wicked with humiliation. Those nations gathered against Jerusalem in the end time will be defeated. They will be defeated by God himself. Zechariah 12 says that all nations will be gathered together against Jerusalem. All of those nations who come against God and against God's chosen people and seek to exalt themselves by wicked ways will be brought down in defeat and humiliation. God determines to surprise the wicked with humiliation. What about practical application from Esther chapter 6? Don't use the word coincidence if you're a Christian. Don't use the word coincidence if you're a Christian. We've seen in this chapter that Xerxes just happened to have insomnia. He just happened to call for the official Persian records. And he just happened to read about Mordecai's good deed. Haman just happened to come into the court at that time. All of this was coincidence, right? Wrong. God was working behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose. Nothing happens by chance or by coincidence. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It was true in Esther's day. It is true today. It is true in your life and in my life. Don't use the word coincidence if you're a Christian.